The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I heard you wanna check with your girl. Business and beauty, come and confess how you make your money and say yes to the gas.
What's up, guys? I'm joined today by Houston's very own Gabriel Zamora. I have known Gabriel through blue hair, purple hair, bleached hair, pink hair, brown hair, blue contacts, no hair.
On the brows.
I was getting
there. Like, when was I bald?
Ever since your brow transplant, blue contacts.
Green, actually. Blue doesn't
green. I'm so sorry. Symptoms. Yeah, green. Yes, I won't disclose the brand. I've known you for so freaking long, since the Lily Lashes days.
Yes. Oh my God. Hi, everyone. I'm Gabriel Zamora. And I've known Patrick probably since I moved to LA. I think I had moved to LA maybe 2 months before you. Mm-hmm. When you came out here.
Right. And then I think I was living in downtown. I was living in downtown LA, and then you were working around the block.
Literally around the block
for me at the Lily Lashes headquarters at the time. Uh-huh. And then we became friends, and I kind of met you through, no? Was it Nikita or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had met Nikita, I think, right before I had come to LA with Jesus and Angel, who were dating at the time. And I think they were out of town. So I was in town just staying at their place by myself. Mm-hmm. And then Nikita's like, oh, let's go out to West Hollywood. My friend Patrick's going. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, the only Patrick I know that she knows is Patrick Starr. Like, that's the only one. And then we met that night, and I think we spent the entire night together.
Crazy.
Yeah, I just remember, I don't know if you remember this, but like, I think later on in the night, you're like, oh, you're real for that. You had a lash glue bottle stuck to your cape.
What?
It was literally lash glue. It was like this. Uh-huh. Like, this is stuck to your outfit. And I was like, oh my God, like, you have lash glue. And he's like, oh.
Shut up.
Yes, I promise. It's still like the funniest thing. It's like a lash glue bottle. It's like not even like, oh, like a candy or gum. Like so on brand because you're so glam.
Well, so glad to be chatting with you today. The podcast is all about success. And I think just even getting through what you've gone through in social media and sustaining a full-time career. Because I think you qualify for this podcast. Because I remember when you took the leap of faith to becoming like full-time influencer, when you signed to Ipsy, we got you the blue balloons and the whole bit. And you're like, I think I'm really going to do this. And I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but you filmed one of your first videos at my apartment. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy how you're like doing your own thing. And I think a lot of people, what I want people to take away from listening to you is like, what the hell does it take to make it as a full-time influencer? Because there's thousands, if not hundreds and thousands of people that aspire to be an influencer, and they see the glam, they see the success. But I'm just here to break it down and keep it real with you. And also, shout out to your podcast, Blunt Talk. Can you talk a little bit about that really quick? Let's plug.
Let's give a little plug. So I am the creator and host and co-founder of Blunt Talk with Gabriel Zamora. It's just like a fun podcast where I needed a space to be able to like dump out my thoughts and my ideas and have like a conversation with my audience. So a lot of my episodes are just me just kind of talking, like ranting about things, talking about different topics, just, you know, being very like, hi, everyone. And just having a great conversation. And then I also have guests on there who participate in Hi, Everyone. And it's always like a really fun time. And we just talk about different things, whether it be from one of my friends, she has like an OnlyFans. We talked about that, like the behind the scenes, like how is that business like? to my plastic surgeon. I recently had lipo and I just got to pick his brain for like 2 hours and just be like, so what about this? What is this? A little bit of everything.
I also wanted to ask you too, because I noticed Miss Mama has not posted in 3 months on YouTube. So is podcast it now?
Like the podcasts have held me to a weirdly more accountable standard. I don't know why than like YouTube, even though I should like be posting more on YouTube. I feel like they get mad if I don't post weekly. Like I get DMs and they're like, why haven't you uploaded this week's podcast? And I'm like, oh my God, y'all are not this upset with YouTube videos. So like podcasts every single week. Every single week, no one way. Goes up. Yeah.
But we just and, have you, like a couple- and you get a lot of that feedback via Instagram?
Via Instagram, Twitter, the Blunt Talk Instagram page as well. If they can't reach me there, they go to my direct one and they're like, why the fuck are you not answering messages? I'm like, oh my God. They just like, they love it. I think that's what's so cool about podcasts is that it's just like this long hangout with somebody.
I'm still getting used to it because I'm not glam. I'm sitting here like hungover from
You're not glam?
I'm not the one time I'm not. I've changed, wow. Gabriel. I've changed.
I put on a BB cream for you.
I like how you still have last night's hair.
And it was
right. Do you think, like just diving right in, do you think YouTube is dying or we're in like a trench transition?
No. I love YouTube. I think YouTube is my top watched app on my phone. And then it's like TikTok is next. I love long form videos. Like I am an avid YouTube watcher. Even before I was a YouTuber, I was always obsessed with YouTube. I like the feeling of either learning something, feeling like you're hanging out with somebody or you're listening about something. Like that's what YouTube to me is. It's like this almost friend, but I always have my iPad with me and I carry it everywhere. So I'm just like walking around with like YouTube videos all the time. But I love YouTube. I think my own thing is like wanting to understand what I want to put out there, as to where before it was just like, oh my God, look at this new lipstick that just came out, you guys. Like, I don't want that to just be gay all the time. Like, I think I'm like changing it up a bit. I think the podcast actually inspired my YouTube videos of wanting to talk more and just sitting there. And having more of a like this weird outline structure.
For anyone that's like a beauty listener or aspiring to be like a beauty blogger or just be on social media, I think I'm asking for myself too. Like, is there anything from the old YouTube beauty days that is important now to keep up? I mean, obviously like authenticity, like building a connection. But I'm just trying to figure it out because I feel like I just have to go head on to like TikTok. Now,
I love TikTok. And it's true. I think TikTok is definitely the app right now. And I think it's definitely going to take over. I'm happy because Instagram's been holding that fucking crown for way too long. And I think they changed too much. It just became like everything. You can shop on there. You can do live. They like came for Snapchat. They came for you. Like they're coming for everybody as opposed to just being like the number one photo sharing app. Mm-hmm. Which is what they're not anymore. So like I feel like it lost its like sparkliness. It's just like, oh, like it's just, it's been there and I get it. So I think with TikTok, it's been able to really showcase authenticity a lot more than what Instagram has sworn to want to represent, which is like the authentic person sharing their authentic experiences. Instagram's full of ads and retouched photos. Like that's what it's full of. TikTok is very like, I love following TikTokers that are like, it almost feels like they would have just posted it on their story, but they post it on TikTok and it becomes this little experience that maybe not all their followers love, but there was this one joke in there that you love and you can always go back to it. And it doesn't seem to like go away. Like a lot of other platforms have their content just disappear after a certain amount of time.
I never thought about like TikTok being like Instagram stories, but like live, like uncut, raw. Because I was going to say, I was going to say back in the day, I was going to say that Snapchat was like videos, which is what stories is now. Yeah. Instagram was just one fucking picture. One picture.
No, but remember they incorporated video around the time we had moved to LA, like
2016.
And it was 15 seconds. Had to get everything in 15 seconds.
Girl, I broke down a 20-minute holiday tutorial. It was my first ever one. And it did views, bitch. It was crazy. Like 36,000 comments. And I think that was like where we all kind of knew, oh, we have to fuck with like new, I guess, products or applications on the app to kind of be favored. Yeah. And now, like when I counted, I think before on Instagram, there's like 11 or 12 different things that you can do, from stories to posts to static to live, to swipe up to this, to highlights, to carousels, the IGTV, reels. There's just so many freaking things you can do. I think it doesn't make it as immersive to the iPhone user, because the actual device that it's on, like you want to dive into other apps. You want to kind of like get out of like that function. So for us back then, it was Snapchat to talk live only.
Yeah.
And then it
or
was
like, Instagram, hey guys, I'm walking
around. Picture. Right. Instagram for just that one picture. Yeah. And if you wanted to get all of me, go to my YouTube, because I'm going to give you 15, 20 minute length, bitch. That was it. And then maybe like a tweet here and there.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, I don't know how we did it. And I looked at my Twitter. I'm like, how do I have almost like 600K on there? Like, I don't even know how we got
Twitter.
Those.
It's such like a weird
place. It's just
place.
Too messy. It's scary.
I can find out anything on Twitter as it's happening live.
I know. It's good. But I feel like I'm trying to shift my mind to TikTok and move forward. I mean, I was on TikTok when it was Musical.ly. Were you ever on Musical.ly?
No, I never. Because it was, for me, I was like, okay, it's just like children. It's just like… Mm-hmm. Doing like, oh, little like…
Yeah, like the stupid like little phone dances and moves. Yeah.
And it didn't interest me until TikTok became very quote unquote Vine. To where it wasn't like these little songs and like these little dances. Like you can find anything on TikTok. It's like my favorite.
Wasn't Vine like 6 seconds though?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
Mm-hmm. And you had to get everything in 6 seconds. You had to… Full joke. Set it up, hit it, and land it in 6 seconds.
It's crazy. I feel like I'm about to be 33, and I like it'll be, I think, almost a decade since I've been like online, but it's just so fucking crazy. I'm like, how did I fucking keep up with this shit? Like, it is so crazy. And to see kids killing it, and now you can become a movie star, you can become signed to a record label, you can have a beauty brand,
period.
Period is now puh. All right, guys, I want to say yes to not just amazing guests here on the podcast, but I want to say yes to amazing products. I am a beauty influencer, makeup artist, and I feel like I wouldn't be doing you guys a service if I didn't share my favorite products. And one of my favorite brands, apart from mine, is Way. If you guys don't know about Way, they have amazing hair products, but they also have bomb freaking body products. What I have been using is the Melrose Place Body Cleanser and Melrose Place Body Cream. You're like, what is Melrose Place? Other than being a location here in LA, it is an iconic scent with notes of bergamot, lychee, cedarwood, and white musk. And that combination makes you feel so freaking sexy. And yes, I am single, and no one else has made me feel sexy other than the Melrose Place scents. And you know, I have been wanting such a luxe feel, and this literally brings it home for me. And you know, when I was able to go to the spa, there was the candles and the waxes and the scents that they pump into the spas. And you know, other than candles, I wanted that experience for me in my shower and bath routine and getting ready routine. So other than just spraying perfume out the door, when you start and reset your day with the Melrose Place iconic scent when you're cleansing, it just starts my day so gorgeous and beautiful. I'm pumping my music, my diva songs. I wash my body. I feel like I'm in a freaking music video. And then, you know, I seal it with the body cream. And the body cream is literally so yummy. If you guys don't know, growing up, I've been called names because of my ashy elbows, but it's because of my eczema. I've used a lot of steroids on my elbows, and it's really stripped my skin and also even some pigment in the areas that I have eczema. So for me, I've been really picky and particular about body creams and stuff, because this one has an amazing scent, but it's not irritating to the point where it disturbs my eczema. So this body cream is literally so, so, so beautiful. It softens. There's actually softening oils and jojoba seed and rosehip oil. So I feel really good and confident about using this all over my body, especially around my eczema areas. With this alone, my skin feels so freaking hydrated and smooth, and it doesn't feel greasy or gross. If you guys want to check it out, be sure to check out The Way Melrose Place Body Cream and Melrose Place Body Cleanser at theouai.com, theway.com. And for all of you guys listening, you guys get 15% off your entire purchase when you use the code SAYYES. And again, that is theouai.com, code SAYYES. Your body, your way.
Hi, we're Carlene and Jill, hosts of Breaking Beauty Podcast, the show all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. On our show, you're going to find hella inspiring guests like Emily Weiss of Glossier, and you'll get beauty tips galore from the top pros in the industry, like Kim Kardashian's makeup guru, and you'll hear skincare secrets from the likes of Dr. Pimple Popper. Plus, you'll get shopping help with our Damn Goods episodes, where we review the latest products hitting store shelves to let you know what's actually worth your money. Listen every Wednesday to Breaking Beauty Podcast.
It's crazy, but how have you managed to upkeep, like, what's important to you now going forward as Gabriel Zamora, and how did you, like, what allows you to function and thrive in this business? Because this is, like, your livelihood.
I think for me, what I want to focus on is, how do I continue to share Gabriel, but create a conversation as well? How do I use my voice to, like, uplift people's day, but also talk about very important things going on, not only in the beauty community, but as well in the world and as part of my other communities, like whether it be Latino or like coming from immigrant parents. Like, I talk about so many different things on my channel, which I really like. And it's just about finding a balance of that. And whenever people want to create a social media account, I always tell them, I'm like, look at five people who you like look up to in that sense. Like, pick five and just study them for a little bit. Like, what is their routine like? What is their posting pattern? Is it something you can see yourself? Like, get inspiration from it, because I can, like, and be realistic too. Like, you know, like, I don't post that.
Rihanna, Beyonce, Ariana Grande. No,
no, no. Not like that. Like, it's like, I always tell people, like, look at people like who you like, who inspire you. And for me, it would be somebody who posts a lot. Somebody like Ayla Sarai. Like, Karen is a fucking beast with content, but I could never post that much. I just know that realistically.
I need to get her on here. I don't know how the fuck she does it. I blink, she's doing her makeup.
She posts three times a day. she posted this photo and she said, sorry guys, I haven't been on for a while. And I'm like, oh damn, when was the last time she posted? 3 days ago. I was like, oh my God. Like, what are you talking about? She is a content queen and I love it. And like, but I know that's not my pattern. So I have to find somebody that I'm like, okay, like, I like this pattern of posting. I like this kind of content. Karen also, like, she's a glam girl. She loves makeup and hair almost on a daily. I don't. Mm-hmm. I like to, like, get ready for things. I like to, like, wear it for events when I want to feel pretty. And that's what I feel like with my audience we can have a conversation about. Like, look at people that you look up to, get that inspo, and then kind of create your own routine, your own niche. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you're never going to be anybody else, even if you post like them. Mm-hmm. Like, you're still going to be you. So find out, like, what best inspires you, because it could be a very, like, depleting kind of like job in the sense, like, by the end of the day, you feel drained. And then eventually your creativity feels very drained if you don't like balance it well. So I don't like to overdo myself, because then I'm not inspired by it. And then I feel like what I'm sharing isn't of value to my audience.
Yeah, I feel like there was a point where I was like doing so many sponsorships. I was doing so many videos and I was just doing just so much work that I felt like I was spreading myself thin. And then I didn't even give myself a break. I noticed that you do digital detoxes too. So yeah. What inspires your digital detoxes to take time away for yourself?
Whenever I start to feel that kind of anxious feeling from the apps, mm-hmm. it's like this weird feeling. I've gotten it down pretty well of like understanding, like, ooh, like I need a break. Like, I just need a break. And I feel like it, like, resets me. I think social media, if not handled right, could be negative on one's mind and kind of mental health. And as well as your energy. Like, after, like, hours of scrolling, you can feel kind of like, oh, my God, like, I feel like my energy just went away. Because you do kind of invest in these things, in these videos. You process this information. And I think we're getting, yes, it's great that we have an abundance amount of information that we can intake. But that could also be very overwhelming for your head, like for your brain, and how you're like, sometimes like you don't have to learn 30 to 40 different things in a day. Like you can learn 2 to 3 and really process them, let them digest, let it really be a part of you. But I'll be like watching TikTok. I'm like, yes, process this, process that. And I'm like, oh my God, get off your phone. Like the internet's not real right now. Like it's not real. Get off your phone, go do something, water your plants, play with your cat. Go walk to a restaurant, go get food. I live in downtown LA. So like I can just walk everywhere, which is really nice. So it's about understanding when and being like really honest with yourself. Like, oh, this is like messing with my energy. Like be aware of your energy at all times. And like when I feel like social media is messing with it, I'm like, take a break. Maybe it'd be a day, maybe it'd be two. And I think as an influencer, we get scared that if you're not in front at all times of this camera, it can all go away. Or if you're not too consistent. And I think it really scared me at one point. And I was like, oh my God, like, but I've taken breaks and my audience is like, oh, like we understand. Like sometimes like people just go through things. And I love my audience for that because they like let me take these breaks. But yeah, I don't know. I live for them.
I think you have to like do what makes you happy and you have to listen to your body. But at the same time, it's hard. I feel more confident talking about this certain niche of persona because it's almost similar to a drag queen where I live as like Patrick Starr. You live in this alter ego persona online, but then you blink and then you haven't dated. You blink, you haven't started a family. You blink, you're not in a home. It's just like, have I grown up? Have I learned anything? And it's just kind of like you have to feed both who you are at work and who you are at home. And I feel like that's important and that I'm realizing now in my 30s, like looking back, I'm like, was it worth it to be Patrick Starr? Because it's like we don't hear that applause, you know, sometimes. And we don't get that. So I think it's like what I want people to take away is to, and what I really wanted to talk to you about was like taking care of yourself. Because I remember when we started, bitch, we would like talk about like our boys and then our personal lives and then reality and success and friendships and breakups and drama. And I was like, there's no other bitch that I know like in this community that could resonate. That's not a drag queen. That's not that, but you, because you like were learning. But also too, this is fucking tea. I think me and you, what I admired about you when we started being friends, I was like, okay, this person has worked a real job, was a manager, like learned, you know, things in his adulthood, but you didn't acquire this level of popularity and full-time work until after that. But I feel like kids that acquire this job, someone like Charlie D'Amelio's age, you know, like parents aren't always going to be there. So I can't even imagine or fathom what it's like to have no support and learning how to adult as you're growing up. And I feel like me and you were like, okay, we worked. We know how to act. We know how to talk to people. We know how to be professional. And then we blink and we see these TikTokers and Musical.ly kids not knowing what to do, struggling. And doing the whole thing.
I don't envy the kids that have to grow up in fame because I got to grow up out of it. I moved to LA, I think when I was like 24. So I went into 21 in Houston. I went at 18 in Houston. Like I feel like I really grew up in Houston without even really social media having to like post anything. So I learned all my like mistakes without any spotlight on me, which I really like because, oh my God, like public opinions, oh, that can really take a toll on people. And I can only imagine on an underdeveloped mind. And I've even kind of like read in books in like the neuro, like how the brain works. And fame is a type of trauma that can really freeze people in a certain time if not handled accordingly. That's why you hear the scary story of the child stars that went crazy. Mm-hmm. Because you kind of do get stuck in that age sometimes.
Because it worked.
Yeah,
it traumatic worked for you. Experiences. You want to hold on to it.
Traumatic experiences can really freeze you at an age, at a time, even though your body's developing, your mind isn't fully developing. And fame can really do that. And I can only imagine being like 16 and being stuck there, mm-hmm. having the world at your feet. And then you blink and you're 32, but what kind of developing
were you? Are you talking about me?
Yeah, I'm totally talking about you. No, but like, I can only imagine like, you know, like how does your mind truly develop? Like celebrities, even like a Justin Bieber, somebody who's famous so young, but you can still see very childlike, rebellious actions. So I don't envy people who had to grow up in fame because I'm like, oh my God, like, unless you're like the Smith kids, like Willow and Jaden, who had like a really strong set of parents who were able to luck out and be like, you know what? We created great human beings that are great to the society, even with like Jaden and like the activism that he's done with the water trucks in Flint, Michigan. Like he got water trucks to go to Flint, Michigan, because unfortunately our government isn't doing anything to clean their water and it's killing people. And here's somebody of so much fame and like money and access actually doing something, you know? So there's great stories when it comes to that, but there's also like scary stories. So I'm like, I hope the Charlie D'Amelio situation is going to be well. But when you hear even with like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, I think Mary-Kate said like, I don't wish my childhood on anyone. She's like, I get it. Like we created success and we connected with so many people. She's like, but it wasn't what a lot of people think it was. And I'm like, oh my God, like that's mm-hmm. scary. And like, you only get one childhood, but that's you get true. A long as adulthood.
I heard that an agent told me and before years ago, the age you get famous is the age you stay. So it's pretty much like the mm-hmm. same thing, like where you want to hold on to it. I was so triggered because I was on TikTok the other day and I love my glam. And someone was like, look at this 2016 looking ass makeup. I said, I was like, but I love full coverage. I just love it. Glam. I'm so glam. Like, am I?
No, but it's like, there was such
an aesthetic. Is it wrong? It was like the white contacts and the black brows and the this. And I mean, it's cool. I mean, I refined it. But it's just like, I think a part of like my shtick is like Patrick Starr. But I was like, oh, damn. Like, mm-hmm. now I got to be a wash face kind of girl.
No, makeup is all about a person.
It's a one size fits all.
No, but like, it's like, you can have it how like however you want your makeup to be. Like, I know my makeup has changed throughout the years, but I remember like 2016, 2017, Gabriel, like, oh, that bitch loved a MAC full coverage foundation, even like a stick all around. It was like a MAC stick. And I wouldn't color correct, but for some reason, that thing would not show. No 5 o'clock. Full coverage foundation. Give me sun. Me swearing I was that dark. Oh my God. Now I see it and I'm like, oh my God, Gabriel, that's orange. Like you were not that shade anymore. But I remember it was an aesthetic and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll do it. Like I'll go back and I'll like see a video and I'm like, let me go get that studio fix. And I'm like, just like thick, like what is it?
Spackle.
Yes. Oh, it feels so good. Like, I feel like my skin misses it.
Really quick for you, it's so funny because every time I see you, I'm like, who are you talking to, bitch? Girl, because last night I was like, I see you, Gabriel. And you were like, what? And I was like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
It's very, Gabriel's like always with the, what do you mean? So I know you nasty bitch. So How do you fucking balance your dating social life? Is it still through apps or are you still traditional? Because when you digital detox, but you want to like meet.
I'm still on apps.
Okay.
For sure.
Just not on the social, the Gabriel Zamora apps.
I won't check them, but like I have a folder. It's called Whore. And it includes my dating and hookup apps. Because I'm like, you know what? It's a one-stop shop, okay? And I go in there and I have, I think, let me see, what do I have? I can actually pull it up. I have Tinder, of course. Yeah, it's called Whore. Tinder, Raya, Bumble, Jack, Grindr, and Hinge.
Wow. Yeah,
I just have them all on there. And Hinge is like my new favorite one, the newest one. You know, like when you're single, you just gotta like keep up with all these apps. It's just mm-hmm. like being an influencer. You just gotta keep up with the next app.
Okay, well, let's open up this conversation too, because we want to talk about growth. We want to talk about guap, how to get there. Do you feel guys knowing you, is it a turnoff, or is it like, hey, you're gonna find out about me anyways if we start fucking with each other or dating?
Mm-hmm.
Should it be a turnoff at the beginning? I mean, if it's fan behavior, yeah.
I am public with who I am. So because I'm already so like neurotic that I just am like, oh, what if they know who I am? So I just limit it from the beginning. I'm like, you're going to know who I am. So I can already detect fan behavior just from the beginning.
Do you have your things linked in the apps?
I have my Instagram. Like my Instagram is at Gabriel Zamora. I have bomb ass photos. I'm like, my profile is cute. Like, my photos are good. Like, I'll get compliments on the photos. Like, just the other day, some guy's like, oh my God, I've never seen such like a sexy eating a burger photo. And I was like, thanks. I mean, that's why you took it. But like, yeah, like I say it from the beginning that like I do social media. Like, I also wear makeup. Not all the time, but just know that I do. Like, I'm pretty like upfront about it. Like, here are like some of my quote unquote things that you might not be into, which is perfectly fine. It's just easier for me to like brush off the unnecessary men. Because there's some guys that are like, oh, you wear makeup? Even though like on the first day, I just want to be Gabriel, like just Gabriel. Like, you don't have to know who I am. Maybe I'll explain to you on the second date what I do. But then like by the second day, they're like, oh, you wear makeup? Some guys are not into that. It's totally fine. People can have preferences. I'm not going to be a bitch about it. But I just want to like already brush those people out of the way. Like, some people don't like to be public on the internet like that. Some people are intimidated by people with a following. So I just get it all out of the way. I'm like, here. Mm-hmm. So then when people really do approach me, I get to assess the approach accordingly. Like, are you a fan or are you like kind of into me? And once I'm like, oh, like you're into me, then I play like the game, which is fun because as a podcaster, bitch, I love to get into people's minds. You should have done your research on me. Like, my profile's public. Hopefully you did. We're still going to get to know each other, but I like to pick people's brains. So that's when I like to have fun with them.
I was going to ask you too earlier about growing and glowing at the same time. It's not always like rainbows and bubblegum. Can you talk about because I feel like you know people that have been canceled. You know what it's like to be in the drama. And it could deem like attitude towards like failure. That could just mean anything in terms of failing. So how do you cope through failure and relating to social media? And what is it like for you? Because I feel like you've seen people go through it. You know people and you've lost friends through social media. Mm-hmm. And I know, but I want you to interpret and talk to the audience of what it's like. Because I've seen you cry before. Mm-hmm. So in my 40-inch wig. Do you remember that?
Wig, bitch.
We were so deep and I just hit you with the questions and it was like boom, boom, boom. And you're like… And it was, I couldn't help but like giggle because you're like venting to me. And I think you totally forgot you had this 40-inch wig on and it was just sitting on you. But it was just quite the scene. But anyways, that was just my personal experience with you. But can you talk about coping and failure?
Well, for me, I do not believe I fail. I either win or I learn. I don't like to look at things as like, oh, I failed at this. It's not really my mentality from growing up. My mother, I think she didn't teach me that, but she taught me in a way of, you got to figure it out. You got to continue to figure it out. If you can't figure out something this way, figure it out another way. So that, I feel like that's always been in my mind until I heard that statement from somebody. I was like, oh, I don't lose. I either win or I learn. So with every situation, I try to understand what can Gabriel learn from this? Like, what's needed from this situation? What lesson is in this situation? So for me, I think with like the internet, when shit goes down, I have to be aware in my take on it and my hand in it. Like, what did I do to kind of create this? And I've been in situations where I've had videos made about me and they'll say like, oh, Gabriel's doing this, da-da-da. And I try to objectively look at it and be like, okay, am I being a bad person? And I joke about this, but I say that I'm like a reformed problematic influencer because at one point, Gabriel Zamora was problematic as fuck. Like, let's not lie. like just for fun, like it was like this fun little thing of like, oh, like to put your opinion on the internet. Like, it's fun. Until I was like, you know what? It became too like, Gabriel, stop. Like from people that like were my actual like fans. They're like, stop. Like, you don't need to do this. Like, stop. Don't do this. Or like, hey, I don't agree with you on this.
Yeah, don't feel
And I started
fire.
To really, yeah, I was like, wait, like, let me take a step back and really understand what the conversation is. Because I think with quote unquote cancellations, I don't think they really happen unless that individual decides that they themselves want to be canceled. Like who's going to honestly be like, okay, I'm going to go away forever. Like, nobody. Influencers have a underlying level of narcissism to be able to put yourself on the internet. It's because you kind of like live for yourself. So they all put themselves on the internet. With cancellations, I think it's just the most common term now, but I think it's about sometimes accountability, you know, about conversations as well with influencers. And for me, I try to take things from society that will sometimes like make Gabriel better Gabriel. You know, like, okay, Gabriel, don't do this. Like, don't be like this. Or like, don't talk about this. Don't do this. And I'm like, oh, okay. There's some things that I'm like, okay, I can willingly see that I shouldn't be doing certain things. So I stopped being that problematic Gabriel because I think with all problematic influencers, they're aware. They're very much aware. They know what they're doing. They're just choosing to continue to do said behavior. I was aware when I would do something, if it would get videos made on it. I was like, oh, this is going
to
get
I was about to say that too.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, it like, I think in the moment, it seems like fun. I've done it once or twice, I will admit.
Once or twice.
Once or twice, just to see like if it prompts an emotion or reaction. And it has. And I've shocked myself. And then the videos get made and it's like, oh shit. And then I've just like stopped because I don't think it was healthy for me to be using my built platform for those things.
No, when people really put it, if you can put it into a perspective that really makes me understand and like be like question, even sometimes myself, is when I'm like, okay, let me actually take a step back and really listen to this kind of repeated conversation that I continue to hear. I remember even one of the things that I really had to change was how I showed my pride in my Latino presentation. I know that at one point I'm always prideful of who I am. I look Latino. I'm always going to be Latino. But I think at one point I was just having a lot of fun with it. I'm like, oh, I'm Latina. Da, 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 da. I was making merch. I was like, oh, Latina this, Latina that. And I remember like there was videos made, especially about other Latina influencers of like, oh, Hot Cheetos isn't a personality trait or like doing this. And I was like, okay, like there's certain things where you can say, and like, I'm still going to eat Hot Cheetos. But it was when the conversation was being had of, don't create a caricature of this, of your culture. Don't make it to where somebody can literally put this on. Just be Latino and allow who you are to express your heritage. You don't have to remind us. And I was like, ooh. I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
Because it was working for like a hot second.
It was true. It was a true ass statement. I was like, wow. Like if you have to remind somebody constantly of what you are, then you probably aren't.
Overcooked, overdone.
Like, girl.
Just be.
You have to continuously say you're Latina, then you're probably not. Because a real Latina doesn't have to remind somebody. She just is. They just are.
So don't talk about Soy 69 like that. Leave her alone.
I love that song. I love that. Soy la 69.
I'm just kidding.
Soy la chingana que salió de Riverside. La siempre quiso más. Na, 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 na. I love it.
Yeah, I think through failures and coping, detoxing, balancing your life, I feel like it's just like the first step because sometimes people, think I coming on social media is like having a camera and these lights and a quiet space. Oh, and one thing that I feel like is a really good point that I've noticed in your career is that being an Ipsy Glambassador, you know, contracted, having access to the best lights and cameras and makeup and brand deals, you were like, I want to film my ass at home.
Yeah.
And I think I, at first I was like, wait, really? You're like, yeah, I just want to start filming at home. Fuck it. Yeah. I just want to film at home. And I feel like that's something I think in hindsight, people like aspire to have that production. Mm-hmm. But I feel like being you and being the most real you is the most important thing when it comes to being online and showing your personality and keeping up and having that balance.
Mm-hmm. For me, it was, I got access to the best quality, which has made me very much like a high quality girl. Like everything you see is like HD, no filters. Like I even started to understand my skin like that. I started to understand my makeup like that. So I love high quality, but I envied people that were just like YouTubers in their room. Mm. So I was like, how do I mix the two? Because I love the high quality look. I'm like, oh, I'm a high quality bitch. Like you can look at my pores. Like I don't care. Like I love that flex. But I'm like, it doesn't feel like I'm a YouTuber. Like I feel like I'm like, it's like, it felt like a job, but not like the fun job. Mm-hmm. Because it felt like I was going into the studio and I had to prepare everything. And it was like an allotted time slot. Like I would book it out like this Tuesday at 3 p.m. And then I'm like, fuck, it's Tuesday at 2 p.m. and I'm not even inspired to film anything right now. Mm-hmm. So with being a YouTuber, I was like, I am like, sometimes I want to film at like 1 a.m. Like I just want to film through the night. I'm like, I don't mind if I go to sleep at 4 a.m. If I love what I created, that's what I want to put out. And I saw that I was just kind of like not putting out what I loved until I switched it to home. And I was like, I love being that like at home YouTuber, like kind of like the Carly Bible, the Jaclyn Hill. When I look at like some of my like family vlog channel friends, they're just filming at home. And it's so fun because it's like you're in your space. And to me, YouTube gives that section in their platform for people that invite you into their home. Not every YouTube video is that. And that's what I love about YouTube. Like you can go and you can get informational stuff. You can get like animated, like there's everything. But when people invite you into their home, that's what I love. And that's what I wanted my content to be. When I was in a studio, I was like, damn, there's like, I try to limit it to as many people. I was like, I only want one person in here. I just want the camera guy. That's it. Like, I don't want nobody else in here.
I remember that.
I get shy. Like, because when I film my content for my audience, I'm talking to them like if it's one person. Like, I'm just having like a one-on-one conversation with this camera. Like, it's just me and you. That's the kind of relationship that I like to have with my audience. Because when I meet people and they feel like they know me, it's because of that. And I love that. And I'm like, oh my God, like you really like, they're like, oh my God, I listen to your podcast. I watch your like long ass fucking 40 minute YouTube videos of like this and that. And they're like, oh my God, like you said this. And I'm like, oh. They pick up these little things that only a real watcher will know. And that's when I'm obsessed with it. Cause I'm like, oh, like even if they just like recognize me, that's amazing in and of itself. But when they really get to know me because I've allowed them to get to know me is when it excites me because I'm really connecting with people.
That's true. I think what people, I think in the past few years have been hung up on is about formula than the actual content. And I fight between the two all the time. It's like, okay, we have to limit our videos to 5 minutes because that's what I've seen another YouTuber do, or 15 minutes or this. But I feel like I have to kind of take a step back and be like, well, what the fuck do you want to film? Like, what's going to resonate with me? What makes me excited? And I think Halloween, this past Halloween, like made me excited to film whatever the fuck because I was so branded. I was doing so much like production work that it just became not fun anymore because I felt like it was being scripted and being like unfun. But also too, it's led to so many opportunities for me to hosting and all this production type of value because at the same time, I feel like a lot of YouTubers and influencers were not being taken seriously in the production world. And it's ironic because now all the celebrities are now on this side of the line. And it's kind of like, okay, well, fuck yo drag. You know, so it's like when people didn't want to take our type of business seriously. Yeah. But I think going back to like whether you want to be a production queen or whether you want to be like more homey, I don't feel like there's a right answer because, you know, one or the other could lead to different types of opportunities, like a successful podcast like yours or a brand that requires a lot of production and people to do so. Because I feel like you also have to, what's great too about production too, like if you want to go above and beyond and working with other people in that space, like it preps you to be production trained. You know how to work with people, you know how to act in front of people, you know how to be in front of the lighting, the sound guy. And I've had my Snapchat show, I've been on other shows and guested on TV shows. So it kind of trains you to be in that vein. But also too, like you grew up as an actor as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know how to act and you were an adult. So I feel like a lot of these experiences can lead to a multitude of opportunities. But I think the biggest part about being an influencer, listening to you talk today, is to tackle oneself and be aware of oneself and self-perception and attitude and what you are to be projecting in case you are.
Yeah. Like if you want to be on the internet, what do you want to be on the internet? Is the question. Like, what do you want to be? Like, you can be anything, anybody. Like, you can really create anything on the internet. Like, I've seen people have successful careers from reviewing cheese on the internet. Like, you can do whatever you want on the internet. You really can. But some people choose to kind of like, oh, like, I want quote unquote success, regardless of where it comes from. And I have a lot of pride in the name Gabriel Zamora. Because that's all I have. I have my name and my reputation and my word. Like that's all I can really protect. And I've read in so many books, protect your reputation at all costs. Like don't just sell out Gabriel Zamora because you're going to make a bunch of money doing this. Your reputation is key. And if you fuck it up, it's so hard to rebuild it. Even though it's slow to build it up, it's so much harder to rebuild it. So be aware of who you want to be on the internet and whoever you want to be, even if you want to be a problematic ass bitch, at least own it, be it, okay? But deal with the consequences. Everything has a consequence. It's just like the whole conversation of freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want to, but it does not absolve you of consequences that can come from it societally. You can say whatever you want to on the internet, absolutely. But there's still a social kind of structure that society likes to uphold.
Before you started, are you happy with where you are now and in knowing, not knowing what would become Gabriel Zamora?
Yeah. I like Gabriel. I really do. I'm an honest bitch and I feel like I've been able to find my voice because of the internet. I even look back at videos of like my first 2 years and I'm like, oh my God, who's that? Like, he was scared. Like he was scared of the internet. I hadn't even fully developed my mind in what I really stood for. So I thank the internet for being able to like really sharpen me up to Gabriel and being able to like express my voice, my opinions, who I am. Because I love that. Like when I meet people who can't fully express themselves, I'm like, damn, I love the internet. I'm able to just say it.
Well, you're always doing the most. Do you want to play a little segment called Doing the Most?
Yeah. Okay.
Doing the most, bitch.
Who do you think is doing the most?
The most? You.
Why?
Bitch, you do everything. You're a brand owner. You do like in like a good way. I'm like, damn, bitch, you really be doing the most. Like to where like I'm like, okay, if my friends can really like push themselves, it almost like, what is it called? Not excites me. It like inspires me. Mm. Like, Gabriel, you could do more. You could do more.
I'm like, but you don't have to because it's.
But you don't have to. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, Gabriel, you could do more. I'm like, okay.
That was me back then. T, well, thank you so much. What means the most to you?
My family and my connection with them.
When were you the most messy?
I think 2018 during the.
I was about
after to say my
that.
Truth. It was after my truth. It was definitely after my truth. Like my truth was messy. No, but it just like it started the mess. Like it just kept rising a little bit more. I just kept being messier. I'd go on Snapchat and state my opinion on everything.
Mess.
I was messy the year after my truth. Yeah, I will say that.
Mm-hmm. What is the most expensive thing you have?
Oh, my body. I've invested the most money into my physical appearance. I've invested $75,000.
Oh my God. That includes the brows.
Brows, teeth, years of filler, and two sets of liposuction.
I have to find a video of when you fresh got filler.
No,
for the first
fucking
time.
Burn that video.
And
no, it wasn't.
And you it recorded.
Wasn't the first time, but it was too much all at once. It was my first time doing everything all at once. And my face was swollen. I did cheeks, I did laugh lines, I did lips, and I did Botox. I looked like a creep.
With the blue hair and the contacts.
With the blue hair. And
he was looking like an avatar, bitch.
And I still hadn't figured out my skin. So I had all this discoloration. I look crazy. I look crazy in that video.
That was funny. I have to find it. Peter, let's find it.
No, burn that video.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Say yes to the guests. So
thank
many yes to
me.
You. If you guys want to check out Gabriel Zamora, be sure to follow Gabriel Zamora on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, all the above. And be sure to check out his podcast, Blunt Talk. Love you, bitch.
Love you. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Say Yes to the Guest. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and follow at Say Yes to the Guest on all social platforms. Remember, you are successful. Now go out and be the bad bitch you truly are. Can't wait to chat with you next time. Bye.